Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor. For this is the day that, Lord, you've made for your children to rejoice therein. And so do we come before you, the only one who could hear us and is able to say. And as we are gathered here, Father, we are gathered unto you, Lord, to hear your will and your purpose for our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful unto you, Lord, for this, for our sake, Lord, you went to the cross. You died for our sins and the sins of the people of this world. So we pray that let that love, Lord, that you had for us take preeminence over our soul this morning. To make manifest your will, to motivate us, Lord, to live the life that you came to teach us, Lord. Have your own way this morning and make manifest your power over our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, once again, I just want to thank our living God for how far he had brought his people, I mean his church. He's been gracious with our lives, our going out and our coming in. He had been watching over our lives. If it had not been the Lord, where would our souls have been by today? It all has been because of the Lord. And this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, loving amidst hate. Loving amidst hate. In the midst of this hatred world, how do we have to live our life? There is this interesting picture in the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 12, which says that a shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep recovered only 2 ears and 2 legs. And so shall it be. That's the interesting picture pictured in Amos chapter 3, verse 12. In this particular picture, we could find a sheep. The sheep is you and me. There's also a lion who stands for the devil or the enemy. And also there is a shepherd. And the shepherd there is our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to our rescue, but end up recovering only our ears or our legs. And this morning, what does this kind of picture is trying to teach us? This picture, when I read about this and I pondered over it, one thing that I realized was, God doesn't need anything of you so special to bring about a change that you need in this life. Your life might have been shattered. Your life might have been destroyed. For you, you think there is no hope ahead of you. Your business is in shambles. You are bankrupt now, and you are trusting people to help you through. Maybe your health has deteriorated. The Lord does not need anything from you to bring about the change that you require, if only your ears will be available for him. If only your legs will be available for him. The Lord can stage a comeback into a new life. Your life can turn around. So I'm here to encourage you that this world will not offer us a hand of friendship. This world will not welcome us because we are not of this world. Christ, knowing all these things, and knowing that his time was getting closer and closer to go to the cross, he decided to teach his disciples how life would be for them when he is not with them. He decided to let them know ahead of time what is going to happen to their life. But the most important thing here is, if your ears will be available for the Lord, if your legs will be active for the Lord, I can assure you that it's enough for the Lord to take you through all the tribulation that you face through in this hatred world. Because the ears was just a symbol to let us know that if we'll be willing and attentive to hear what God is telling us, that's all we need. And if our lives will be there to stand and to take a step of faith of all that the Lord had commanded our life, then that settles it. There is nothing to worry about anymore. God doesn't need anything so special from you. Your degrees are good. Your portfolios are good. But God does not count on those things to bring about a change in your life. All that is important to Him is your willingness to hear His word. Your willingness to stand on your feet and take an action. Take a step of faith to bring about a change that is required in your life. And so this morning, as Christ was about to go to the cross, He wanted His disciples to be aware of the kind of life that is ahead of them. And so we'll be looking at the text, John chapter 15, verse 18 through chapter 16, verse 4. And in this text, the Bible did indicate very well that in this world, we will be hated. The world there is just symbolizing a spiritual authority that would hinder the purpose of God in this life. A spiritual kind of authority that would all the time stand against what Christ wants to do in your life. And that could be manifested in many ways. And the first we can talk about is Satan and his fallen angels. Because the Bible says the prince of this world, who is the devil, and his fallen angels, every now and then are manipulating, are putting hindrances on our way, are trying to make life difficult for our life. And so they stand in as one of the symbols of the world. And the other thing that we can talk about is the systems that are in place. The working system today, for example, we know that this is not our number. The system has designed a lifestyle for some people that if you do not go to your work today, maybe you'll be fired. So you choose losing your job or coming to the Lord. So it's a system that the enemy has put in place to hinder the purpose of God in our lives. And so this also known as the world. And the last thing that I can think about as being the world is we human beings who have allowed ourselves to be manipulated by demons or those satanic forces or those fallen angels. If we do not yield our will unto God, the enemy takes over. And when he takes over, he uses us to hinder and to persecute believers. And so these people to become the world that the Bible is talking about. And so basically, if we are talking about the world in this reading, we'll be looking at the devil himself coming or using ways and means to frustrate us, to persecute us. The systems and the governing order of this world also being used to also frustrate us and to persecute us. And lastly, the people among us, you can even find some even in the house of God, who might have allowed themselves to be manipulated by the enemy to hinder the purpose of God. And so this is what the world stands for. And so in our reading, when you look at the verse 8, it stated there clearly that if you are hated by the world, keep in mind that I was hated first. If you are hated today, Jesus Christ is telling us that we should bear in mind that He was hated first. Jesus Christ was trying to remind His disciples that He was hated from the time of His birth to the time of His death. When you critically look at this particular statement, you realize that Jesus Christ, right from birth, He was hated by King Herod. Herod attempted killing Him. Jesus' life began by the hatred of Herod. Herod, right from
hearing that Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, had been born, the Bible says he was troubled. And he put in place all measures to try and eliminate Jesus Christ. For that matter, ending up killing children, male children below the years, below 2 years. And that is the form of hatred that Christ attracted right from birth. A baby who had not even uttered a word before. A life that we can think of being pure and holy. Yet, he was under hatred. Jesus Christ's life ended on the cross because of the hatred that the Pharisees had for him. He was handed over by his own people, the Jews, for crucifixion. He was crucified at the wishes of his own people. And so this is the kind of person that we are following. And as the Bible says that he was hated first. And so if you are hated today, it should be something new. It should be a surprise. And that's why when you read something in the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 13, that if all this has happened to us, it should not be a surprise. Because the one we are following was hated first. He was hated first. And so, what was the main reason for all this hatred? Was it because of any crime? What can we think about? Of being the reason for Christ being hated at first? One thing that I can think about here is, in the scripture that we read, I could see that it's because of God's mission on his life. The assignment that he was carrying attracted that hatred towards him. Because don't forget that when Herod heard about his birth, the king of the Jews, he was the king of Judea at that moment. And if there's another king, how is the kingdom going to be shared? Who is then going to rule? And so, King Herod was troubled. Because of the assignment on the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was hated. And so would you be hated because of the mission of God in your life. You don't find comfort, you don't find peace. People attack you here and there. But then the assurance here is that because you are pregnant with a mission, there is no one that can abort that particular thing in you. With all the efforts of such a powerful man like Herod, trying to eliminate this little baby, yet he wasn't successful. And so shall your life be. You've gone through all form of difficulties. Some of them could have ended your life in this world. But the Lord kept you alive to this very day because you are pregnant with an assignment. There is something specific about your life that you need to do. And for that reason, you would never die until you are through with it. And so this is one of the things that we can see here. That our Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 2, was telling clearly over there that King Herod was troubled. In Matthew chapter 1, getting to the end of it, it was also stated that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God with us. What does that word mean to us? God with us. Christ's arrival on earth brought in the kingdom of heaven. God with us does not necessarily mean that we see God maybe walking together, maybe talking with God, but he's talking about the character of God being exhibited on earth. He's talking about the nature of God being led in this life. He's talking about the power of God being led in this life. And Christ ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. He brought about the mind of God onto this earth. And for that matter, the Bible says, the mind that Christ had was contrary to the mind of this world. The ways of this world are contrary to the ways of God. And for him bringing in that way, for sure, he has to attract hatred. He came with an assignment. He was full of vision and a purpose. And for that matter, the world did not like him. And so we, his followers, what ought we to do? Our primary assignment in this life, would certainly attract hatred from people. People will get offended. Even though you are doing your assignment, you may be the greeter there, just directing people to sit at the right place so that there will be order in the house of God. People get offended. Carrying boxes, you are using your own strength to carry the boxes up and down, getting the instruments arranged, using your time to come and practice on Saturday, to get ready on Sunday, and people get offended. Mind you, I'm saying all this to encourage you who are doing all those works. That when people get offended because of your mission, because of your purpose, don't think that you are the only one in that situation. Christ has been in before. And he's telling us that we should endure all this attack in patience. When you read Romans chapter 12 verse 12, we should endure all this in patience. Go through all these tribulations in patience. For this world will not offer us a hand of friendship. This world will not welcome us in any way because we are not of this world. You are carrying a mission that is contrary to the plans and the purpose of this world. And for that matter, you will be hated. What then should be our focus? Here, our main challenge is we should keep focus. Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, kept focus in his assignment. He did not allow the furious hatred of the powerful, the wealthy, the learned, the Pharisees, and all those people distract his focus. He kept focus. So he got to the cross. And the Lord expects us, why was he able to do that? And maybe how can we also keep focus? That should be the question now. He was able to do that because he had the divine power on him. And he did not go with the divine power. The amazing thing is that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 that according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That same power has been given to us today. For us to keep focus. For us to strive hard and fulfill our mission in this life. It may not be easy. Yet the Lord expects us to keep focus. In this tribulation, how do we have to respond? Christ was mocked, but he did not respond with hatred or retaliate with maybe uttering any kind of threat towards them. The Bible says he responded in love. And so he had asked us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 that we should walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself as an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. We are to live a life of love, just as Christ lived. The second thing that we can see, how Jesus Christ was trying to remind his disciples about, can also be seen in the same John chapter 15, verse 18 down to 21. The Bible says, we have been chosen by Christ to leave the world behind. That, and for that matter, these people or the world would hate us. We have been chosen by Christ to leave the world behind. You are in this world, but the Lord is admonishing you, leave the world behind. Why is he saying this? Now, when we look at the word chosen, the foundation of Israel's covenant relationship with God was his chosen. His election of the people of Israel. God elected them not because they were so special people, but because of his grace and his covenant that he had with Abraham. So he chose the people of Israel unto himself. When you read something in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, it says, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. And so today, if Christ is saying that because he has chosen us, what does he mean? All that he's trying to tell us is that for we have been made special unto him. And because of that, the world would not like us. What is that speciality for? He's talking about people that his nature will be made reflective in them. His purpose will be carried out through them. And that is what he is talking about, that speciality. And this thing does not come with maybe anything so great about us. But out of his grace, and out of his covenant with Abraham, today we are the spiritual Israelites. And for us being the spiritual Israelites today, we are also being chosen by Christ. And as we are being chosen by Christ, the Lord expects us to be of that speciality. People that carry his presence everywhere we go. People that he manifests himself through power and in all ways, in all wisdom and in all understanding. And that is what the Lord expects from our lives. So, in this situation, because we are chosen, because you are chosen, that's the second situation here, the world will not like you. Because you are chosen with a special kind of abilities, with a special kind of purpose, the Lord, the world will not like you. And so, here, what then do we say about this world? The kingdom of this world adores vanity, pleasure, and sensual life, given to wealth and ambition. But as for the chosen one, you have been called to leave all these things behind. You have been called to leave all these things behind because all these things, the Bible says, are perishable. They don't go with you to heaven. All that is important is nature to be made real in your life. And that is the nature that Christ came to institute on earth. Christ came to establish that nature, that character, that nature of God and that power of God. And when we embrace that, that's the only way that we can get to our Father and live with him. But not what this kingdom offers us. So our Lord Jesus Christ was chosen one. When you read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. The anointing over there is to set him apart and then to empower him in the way of fulfilling his mission. And in the same way, we have also been chosen with the anointing of God on our life to also declare good news to the poor, bind the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captive, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And many more. When you read the book of Isaiah chapter 51, you are also full of purpose and full of assignment that the Lord expects you to carry out in your life. All these and many more can be seen when you have time and read Isaiah chapter 51. We have been chosen out of the world. Christ has chosen us first to be his followers. Anybody who has been chosen by God, you are not just chosen and asked to start working. The first thing that comes to mind is when we are chosen to be with him. To follow him. So that we will be equipped and separated from the world. Carrying his assignment and being able to fulfill it unto his glory. So the first thing that comes to mind is that we are being called by Christ to follow him, to be with him. And when that is completed, we can then exhibit his power. And that's why we can see a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. That we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praise of him who has called us out of darkness unto his marvelous light. That is how Christ has made us. We were all being devoured by the lion. We were all being destroyed. But then we found somebody who came to our rescue. And that person is Jesus Christ. He came to rescue us and has given us hope. And today we have been set apart. And so what is then our challenge? Because we are special people, being called by somebody, that person has a way of life. That person has a way of doing things. He has his command. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, the verse 11 and then the 12, going down, after God telling them that I have chosen you to be a special people unto me. He did not end there. He continued to tell them that they should keep his commandments. So special people, we don't have anything of our own. All that we have is from God. There is nothing about us that is not given to us by God. And so for us to face the challenge of living that special life, we need to obey his commandment. We need to take his commandment to heart. We need to live his commandment. And what is the Lord telling us then? For our greatest challenge is that we should obey his commandment, so that we'll be able to show forth his praise. So that we'll be able to reconcile this sinful world back to Christ. The third thing that we can see here, when you read the verse 22 to 23, it says that, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. If Christ had not come and spoken to the Pharisees and spoken to the people, they would not have sinned. Why? Here, Christ was persecuted because of his declaration. What he professed ought to be done. You may be in an organization, you may be in an institution. Everybody is towing at the right. And you realize, you are convinced, and you know that the Lord is saying, it is better we all go the left. The world will not listen to you because you profess that which is right. You profess that which is true. And because of that, the world will not listen to you. He declared what the will of God is. He declared what the mind of God is. And because of that, the world did not like him. Christ came to declare what he believed ought to be done, or what he knows is being done in heaven, or what is required for us to be in heaven. That is what Christ came to declare. He came to profess those things. But because he professed them, they felt guilty because they didn't know, and they did not want to also learn and live that life to glorify God. And all that he professed was contrary to that which they knew. And so when you read the book of the same Isaiah 51, it made mention of a lot of things there. He was the anointed one to preach the good news. He came preaching the good news, declaring good news to the people. And as Christians, or as his children, who are we then? We are his ambassadors. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors of Christ. And as an ambassador of Christ, our declaration must also be that of Jesus Christ. Our profession must also be that of Jesus Christ. Because he has called us, and he wants us to live the life that he came to teach us. Not anything contrary. And so it's Apostle Paul, when he read something in Acts 20, verse 20 down to 27, he said, he preached. What did he preach? He preached what is helpful to them. That is the good news. Because of the convictions that he had and what the Bible had taught Apostle Paul, he would not preach anything that would be destructive to the people. He would not give any counsel that would bring about confusion in people's life. He preached what is helpful to them. That's the good news. He preached repentance. That is salvation day by day. When you read something in Psalms 96, verse 2. He also preached faith. That is operating by faith. Believers, we are not operating by sight. We are operating by faith. When you read the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, whatsoever is done without faith is sin. Anything that we do, thinking that because we have what it takes, or because we are qualified, the Bible says we are sinning. Whenever you begin to think that way, you are sinning. But for us, it says everything that is done without faith is sin. And Christ, our Apostle Paul, preached about operating in faith. He preached about the whole will of God. That is the decree of God. When you read Psalm 2, verse 7. And also he preached about the kingdom of God. That is the power of God. When you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 60, Psalm 68, verse 34. It talks about the power of God. And these were the things that, when you read Acts 20, 20 to 27, Paul was preaching about. The world must not have an excuse for the sinful act wherever we find ourselves. The people that are around us with their sinful act shouldn't have to feel comfortable because they know that you speak against it. They know that the idea that they are going to share with you, you will not welcome it because it doesn't glorify God. People around you should not feel comfortable if your life is not godly. They cannot come and discuss some issues with you because they know that your declaration and what you profess would counteract what they are coming to tell you. And that should be our nature. Christ, everywhere he went, he was doing good. Situations that were bad, he was turning them around. And people that were living sinful acts, when they come to him, they come to confess their sins and ask for repentance. And that should be our lifestyle. If our declaration and our profession is what Christ wants us, or maybe is what we've been doing. And so the Bible says that let your light so shine, when you read Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, let your light so shine so that men will see your good deeds. In Psalm 40 verse 9 and 10, David said, I have not hid thy righteousness in me. Neither had I concealed thy faithfulness and thy loving kindness from thy congregation, for I have declared them unto them. He did not hid what Christ had made his life to be. He did not say because only here this community people don't believe in God, so he's not going to do the right thing. He's going to follow the order of the day. That wasn't the attitude of King David. And so should our attitude be. That everywhere, regardless of the tension, the pressure, we should declare what we profess. We should declare what we believe in. And so that was how... And so the Lord expects us that in everything that comes out of us should be gracious, should be loving, forgiving, and righteous. So what is our challenge here? Our challenge here is we need to declare. We don't have to be slothful. We have to be fervent. Standing firm and declaring what the Lord wants us to declare. Without fear or favor. We are challenged by our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Say, whatsoever we do or say, should either be true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or good reports. Everything we find ourselves doing, that's our challenge. It should be truthful, it should be honest, it should be a good report, it should be lovely. It should be things to bring about confusion. It should be things to bring about separation. He should fulfill the glory of the Lord. And so that is what the Lord requires of us. That is our challenge to declare. But in your declaration, make sure it's true. Make sure it's honest. And the last thing that we can see from this scripture is in verse 24. That they have seen these miracles and yet they have hated both me and my Father. They have seen it. Yet they have hated me, both me and my Father. And here, what do we then see out of it? It's because of your works, brother. Because of what you have been doing. Because of what comes out of your declaration, your works will attract hatred of the world. Christ was hated not for any other reason apart from those that have been mentioned, but then he was also hated because of the miracle that Christ performed. Exposing the ignorance of the religious leaders of his time. Because they were also teaching the same thing that Christ came to teach. The same Bible. But then, what was so special about him? A woman who had been condemned to death, to be stoned because he was caught in adultery, the word that proceeded out of his mouth was able to set him free. That was his work. Not just raising the dead alone, casting out demons alone, but the word that proceeded out of his mouth was able to set someone who was condemned to death free. And can that be said about our life? In situations where people are confused and they seek your counsel, what counsel do you give to them? What words proceed out of your life into their life? The Lord expects us, his children, to let our work be that of Christ. When you read something in the book of 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, the people were living a kind of godliness that lacked the power thereof. And today we can see such form of godliness so many among us in the house of God. That our form of godliness is by our own standard, but not the standard that Christ has for us. We choose to believe what we want and ignore sometimes what God wants us to do. And for that matter, the power will be lacking from the words that proceed out of your mouth. The Lord expects us to live and let our works so shine before men. The Bible says the Pharisees judge our Lord Jesus Christ by mere appearance. They were blinded by the social, the family, and the educational background of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read something in Mark chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And so they were wondering, they got offended because of Christ. Where he's coming from. People maybe may tell you based on physical parameters. How learned are you? Maybe what is your status in the society? What makes you do what you are doing? Or what qualifies you? People can scale you. They scale Christ when you read Mark chapter 6, verse 3 to 5, 2 to 3. And so they were saying, are they not his sisters with us here? And they get offended. Ignoring the power of God that is in your life. People will get offended. But then the most interesting thing is, we have a God that we are serving, that we are operating in his grace that is unlimited. The grace of God that we are operating in is unlimited. So the world can limit you based on their parameters. But in God, you are operating in a form of grace that is not limited. So you shouldn't have to worry yourself so much about the parameters placed by you by the world. Christ was not disturbed about that. That did not deter him from carrying out his purpose in this life. And we ought to also follow this example. And the people didn't like him. Christ led his life through without any difficulties. What they saw Christ doing was something they could not offer. And because of that, they tend to fight against him. And people will fight you if they realize what you are offering, they can't offer it. People will hate you in this world. But then you don't have to hit them back. What you need to do is, you need to endure that tribulation in patience. And one thing I want us to make emphasis here is, when you read the book of Romans chapter, let me talk about our challenge here. The challenge that we are faced here is, we ought to desire to be with Christ. How do we live the life full of power? How do we live the life to glorify our living King? We can only live that life by learning to be with Christ. And learning to be with Christ is a lifelong attitude. It's something that ought to be everyday life. It shouldn't have to be, this week I'm for Christ, the following day I'm on my own. It's something that ought to be consistent and continual. We ought to learn to be with Christ. And you can get that in Mark chapter 3, 14 and 15. That Christ called the 12 to be with him. But then they be equipped to be sent out to preach the word, casting out demons and healing all forms of sickness. And we are asked to do that same way. So our desire here is we should strive for spiritual growth. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 11 and 12 say, be not slothful in business. Servant in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, be patient in tribulation, and praying continually. So do not be slothful in business. The business is about your Father's business. The assignment from your life. Be servant in spirit. Just as Christ was. If you read Psalm 69 verse 9, it says, for the zeal of the Lord had consumed me, and the insult of you had fallen on me. He was so servant. And we ought to be like-minded, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, praying continually in all that we do.
And by so doing, we'll be able to face all these challenges, all these tribulations that have been enumerated here. The joy is that Christ did not leave us as orphans, or did not leave us alone in this situation. In the verse 26, the Bible says that He assured us of a comforter. He assured us of a comforter. A counselor who comes from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who will testify and teach us all we ought to know in this life. So we have the Holy Spirit with us, beloved, who will strengthen us, who will show us things to come, who will comfort us, and will enable us to live a life that is pleasing unto our Lord. Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot love somebody who hates you. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray for your enemies. So the Spirit of the living God would help us intercede for our enemies. Because when you read the verse 16, the chapter 16, verse 3, it is stated there clearly that for all that they did is because they did not know the Father nor me. The hatred that people would hate you most at times is because they are not believers. But what we have to do, we need to pray for them. You need the Holy Spirit to be burdened to pray for somebody who hates you, who despitefully use you. When you read something in Matthew chapter 5 verse 44, it says we should pray for them. You don't have to hate them back. And that is what the Lord expects us. Christ, under all this persecution, He did not threaten. He did not retaliate. All the insults, He did not, but He focused on praying for them. So on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. And also Apostle Stephen, also in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, when he was being stoned, he said, Lord, lay not these sins to your charge. Lay not this. It's only the Spirit of the living God that can enable you to make such a declaration, to intercede for people that are hurting you, people that are destroying you. And so we all need the Spirit of the living God to be able to do that. So today we are also going to do likewise. I will entreat all to be on our feet if you can. Just for a moment, just be on your feet as you focus on your own life. As you think about the life you've gone through, have you been able to live up to how God expects you to be? For me, I have not. And so I need God's mercy. I need God's grace. I don't know about you, but whichever situation that you are in, you can call on the great I Am. He can show you mercy. So you just need to talk to Him this morning. Just speak your heart to Him. You might have failed God. It is not over. He's a forgiving Father. He can forgive us. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon your name this morning. We come before you with all our sinfulness, with all our pride, our arrogance, our unwillingness to obey you, Lord. But one thing that we know, that you are a forgiving Father. Father, behold us with your eyes of mercy and forgive us, Lord, in all ways that we do not please you. Again, I want you to pray for the people that hate you. You may not know them by name, but there are people that do not like you. The devil doesn't like you, but I'm not saying pray for the devil because he's already condemned. The people that you might have been using to hinder your life, to attack you unnecessarily, just pray that the Lord should have mercy on them. Pray that the Lord will bring them to repentance, that they will know Him. Just need to pray for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the lives of the people of God that challenges us, that persecutes us. That through all this, Father, you strengthen us, you empower us. But yet we are praying and lifting them up before you. That Lord, your grace shall reach out to their soul. You draw them to yourself and grant them, O Lord, life eternal. Finally, just pray for yourself and ask for that fervency in spirit. To be serious in your calling, the mission that is upon your life. That is the only sure thing that can take us to heaven. The Bible says, at that day, many shall say, did I not heal? Did I not cast out demons? Say, you who did not do the will of the Father. The Father has the will for your life. Pray that you would identify the new work fervently towards it. In finishing it. Because Christ said, my business is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish it. Just begin to pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we seek your grace, Lord, to be fervent in spirit, to be serious in our calling. Lord, we are trusting you for your divine empowerment. Your word declares unto us that you've given us divine power. You've given us, according to your divine power, you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let it be our portion today that we'll be able to do exactly as you want us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you are here and you don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not too late. You can make this confession before me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the plan of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Christ is your only Son who came to die for my sin. I repent of my sin today and renounce them. I pray that you will come into my life and take charge of my life. Thank you for saving me in the mighty name of Jesus. Precious Lord, we thank you for such a moment, a time that, Lord, we've had with you, and with your ability to turn our ears and our legs in fulfilling of your glory. Father, this morning we pray that you will anoint our ears to be active in listening to your will and to be obedient in doing them. This morning we pray that you anoint our feet, that, Lord, we will be able to stand in all situations. Not just standing, but, Lord, taking a step of faith. Taking action in fulfilling whatever you might have asked us to do. Without fear or favor. That we will be able to fulfill our assignment in this life. Be thou glorified. May you go before us this week. And let your face shine on us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Shall we take our seats?